tonight we want to talk on the various types of tongues Isaiah chapter 28 verse 11 and 12. Now there are various types of tongues, and I'm not sure even whether that title types is sufficient to describe what we're going to talk about. Types or usage or flow or whatever word you want to use. See, sometimes when we use terms, the terminology turns people off. But we should have an open mind to try to stick behind the limited earthly and human language that we have, to understand that there are truths in that spirit realm that we need to open ourselves to. Now, in Isaiah chapter 28, we are not going to look straight away at the various types of flow or usage of tongues, but we're going to see how there is a progression in speaking in tongues. Remember, we haven't moved into the various types yet. We're just talking about how there is, in a sense, a beginner tongue and a more mature tongue. You say, is there such a thing, Look very carefully at the scriptures, please. Well, let God's word speak for themselves. Could we have more light for you fellows over here? Just send some light for them so they can refer to their Bible too. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12. Thank you. It says here, for with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to these people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now please cross-reference to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where the same scripture is quoted by the Apostle Paul in verse 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to these people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Here is a quotation on Isaiah 28 verse 11. It says, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to these people. So it directly refers to the experience, the New Testament experience of speaking in tongues. What we call speaking in tongues in the New Testament has been prophesied about in the book of Isaiah chapter 28 verse 11. And so that scripture is just to show you that Isaiah 28 verse 11 definitely is talking about speaking in tongues. There's no way you can run away from the context of the scriptures. It definitely refers to that. For the Apostle Paul, who wrote one third of the New Testament, referred to that passage as speaking with tongues, and not just an early known language that is spoken by people who understood what they were talking. Paul refers it to the special gift that God has given to people when they are baptized in the Spirit, to speak in tongues. So in Isaiah 28, verse 11, let's examine that word very carefully, where it says in other tongues and other lips. In Isaiah 28, verse 11 says, for with stammering lips and another tongue. Stammering lips and another tongue. Now that tells us about the progression of tongues. See, speaking in tongues, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 and 15, Paul says, if I speak in an unknown tongue, then my understanding is unfruitful. My spirit prayer, but my understanding is unfruitful. What shall I do therefore? He says, I speak with my spirit, with unknown tongues, and I will pray with understanding, I will pray with in the spirit, and then he said, I will sing with the understanding and I will sing with the spirit. Here there is a special word. There is two levels, apparently. One is a level called stammering lips. The other is a level that we can call other tongues. And the process of speaking in tongues is a yielding unto God of two areas of our being. One is using our mind, the other is using our vocal apparatus, which includes our tongue, our lips, and our vocal cords. It involves yielding unto God in these two areas. Speaking in tongues, no doubt there is something where the mind has to let go. Where we say, alright, we're just willing to let the words flow out, although we don't understand those words. So there is involved in it a surrender of the mind. At the same time, it involves a surrender of the vocal apparatus. For God will not force you to speak. God has never, and He will never do that. God will never force a person to speak. In other words, it is not an involuntary exercise. Speaking in tongues is not an involuntary exercise. It is a voluntary yielding to God. What do I mean involuntary? Like, for example, there are some actions that belong to our human body that are reflex actions, that is involuntary, whereas there are other actions that are voluntary. Like, for example, if you decide to walk, if I decide to walk, it is a voluntary action. Although it is functioning at a semi-conscious level, I just decide to walk and my body starts walking, yet it's voluntary. I can choose not to walk and I can choose to walk. That's a voluntary exercise. And our body is capable of involuntary response. Like, for example, if I take a hot fire or something hot and put it next to you, your body instantly, you know, pulls away from that. Or supposing that somebody left a safety pin on your seat. And while you were worshipping God, you know, one of these little kids may have done that and left a safety pin right on your seat and pointing at you. And so when you sit down, you jump up straight away. You didn't sit down, feel pain, something that is, you know, disturbing me. So I decide to stand up. No, you instantly jump up. Ouch! Jump up. It is an involuntary. So in the natural, there are two types of action we realize. And the reason God makes involuntary action is for the basic purpose of self-protection and the body's self-defense mechanism. And now we apply this to the realm of the spirit, that as we yield to the God, all our yielding is voluntary, it is not involuntary. No matter how much years, we still have our free choice intact. It's the direct opposite of what the devil does. For example, if a person is possessed by a demon, the person does all kinds of weird concoctions and all kinds of weird behavior without knowing it. In a sense, it's involuntary. Once upon a time, when a person opened the door for them to come, it was a free choice. But once it passed the point of free choice, the demon possesses the person. And when you cast the demon out, the person may not even remember what has happened. The body may have rolled from one end of the church to the other end, and the person got out, the person doesn't know a thing. How is that possible? Demon tries to suppress the soul and use the body directly. But God's Holy Spirit never does that. He liberates the soul and allows us to cooperate with Him. So all the work of the Holy Spirit flows through our choice, our free choice. Now, in speaking in tongues, we voluntarily yield our mind and give up trying to understand the words that come forth from lips. It is a will. You make a choice. Those who are overly intellectual find it hard to give up. For all our lives, as we are trained and educated, we are trained to at least comprehend the conversations and words and that come forth from our lips. There is a yielding of the mind. And secondly, there is a yielding of the tongue, the vocal cords, the lips. There is a yielding. You are doing the speaking, but the Holy Spirit is giving the word. The most that the Holy Spirit will do is you will feel a stronger and stronger urge to say something. But you still have the free choice to say, I want to speak. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15, I will. Do you notice that it rests on his will? His will to choose to allow the tongue to flow out or not. He says, I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding. I will pray with my understanding, I will pray with my Spirit. So he has a choice in what it is his will. It lies in the will, W-I-L-L, the will, choosing. So God allows us to voluntarily yield. Just like right now, I'm speaking in English. And English is not our native tongue. We learn it. We learn it, and it originates in Europe, in England. It is not our native language, but it may have become a part of our feeling language and a part of our thinking language, and in fact, it may be the only language that we are fluent in. Yet, its origin is not in Asia. And we learn to use it, we are using the language, but the language did not originate from us. In the same way, the Holy Spirit originates the language of tongues. It does not come from you or me. The Holy Spirit originates the language. He may, by his choice, use an early language that you don't know. He may use an angelic language. He may use a heavenly language. Whatever. But the origin of the language you speak forth in tongues is from the Holy Spirit, the source. However, you are the one who choose to use it. Like I said, there are certain things about tongues you need to understand that are within our control. When you speak in tongues, you choose to let it out or not to let it out. There is no such thing as I want to pray in tongues and I cannot pray. Maybe you want to pray in tongues, don't feel like praying. Maybe when you want to pray in tongues, it's not so easy to pray in tongues. But yet when you want to pray in tongues, you can pray in tongues. There's no such thing like when you shut yourself in the room and you have to wait for a particular feeling and then you can pray. That happens to people who receive the baptism in the Spirit under the anointing, and know that anointing is different from the anointing within. One anointing within is different. Who receive the baptism in the Spirit when the anointing upon is operating, then when the upon leaves off and they are left to operate with the anointing within, they don't understand that they can continue in tongues all the time without the special sensations that accompany the anointing upon. So there is a realm of tongues where we do control. We control its coming forth. To speak or not to speak is in our control. Added to that, we control how loud or how soft we want to speak. You cannot say that, I cannot control, it just came out from me. Yes, it just came out from you. Huh? Yeah, I just cannot control. When I just let it out, I just let it out. That's a problem, you just let it out. You can control. What happens if you have a burden in your office and 99% are unbelievers? Your boss behaves like the devil himself. And then you got prayer burden. Say, I cannot, the tongue was coming up. And in your office, what you're doing in the work, maybe you're a computer programmer, you're going, and people look at you. If you keep behaving that way every day in your office, sooner or later you may end up in somewhere else. The funny farm. I don't think you're a good testimony for Jesus, incidentally. You're giving people the impression that the Holy Spirit is a crazy guy. Now, there are many things that the Spirit do that are crazy to understanding, but crazy in a sense that it's different, and when you're moving in the anointing, it's different, but right there, there is a certain testimony that you hold. The impression that you give people of Christianity. It's important that we show forth that the spirit of the prophet can be subject to the prophet. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That's 1 Corinthians 14. And so we can control to a certain extent. And areas like we can control are how loud, how soft. You can control tongues. You could pray in tongues, Hari Gimoramo Zigimuriana Ramazi. Or you could pray, Shagarabali Gimoho Zakari Hikimarabasi. Right? Just like I can control my English, I could shout, hey you over there, come here. Or, could you please come here? See, it's still the English language. But I could control whether it's loud or soft. In the same way that we can control tongues whether it's loud or it's soft, we also can control whether it's in the bass or in the tenor. You could speak in tongues in the key of C or in the key of G or in A flat. But we still cannot control the origin of the language in the flow. See, the language is still the Holy Spirit. But when it comes out, there are certain areas that you could control and add to that. Added to that, you could control the speed of your tongues coming out. You could control Arabahazi. Really this Urras Igaban Belidas Le Urra. Or you could say you could control the speed of your tongue coming forth. Some people don't realize they can control at all, and so they're just wow. You can control certain areas. Now I cannot control the type of language coming out, the origin of that language, because my language in tongues change like most of you. But there are certain areas I can control. See, it is not an involuntary action. It is a voluntary yielding to God. These are examples of control. Now here in Isaiah 28 verse 11, it speaks about stammering lips and other tongues. It shows the progression of the two. Having understood this basic background that we are building and we have taught this far tonight, and having understood that tongues is the yielding of the mind and the yielding of the vocal apparatus, then there are degrees of yielding. That implies a degree of yielding. If speaking in tongues involves these two areas of yielding, voluntarily yielding, then there are degrees of yielding. You can see that. See, the vocal apparatus involves three areas: my lips, my tongue, and my vocal cords. You can add your diaphragm if you want. It takes in the air, lets out the air. But that means there are degrees of yielding. Voluntary yielding. And that causes verse 11, the two levels of tongues that people move into, the what I call the stammering lips and then the real language. So many times when people get baptized in the Spirit, some of them use so utterly that the language flow out beautifully. Sounds like angels speaking. But there are some who are just beginning to yield, so it is called stammering lips tongue. Not the real language coming out yet, but stammering lips. Don't run down those guys. At least they're trying, they're yielding. It is the beginning. See, when we talk about stammering lips, it is like sputtering. I'm talking to you here. Right? So that, my friend, is stuttering. Right? Stammering. I want to tell you something. Right? It takes me so long to get one sentence across. Now, that I have done with the English is to show the difference. Now, when a person is just learning to yield to the Lord, their tongues may consist a lot of that. Stammering lips. You can't talk properly with stammering lips. If your lips stammer, It's hard to enunciate your words. You stammer. And that's the first level. It's called beginner's tongue. Beginner's tongue. Then if you're under beginner's tongue, it can be strange thing. Can come forth at first like the choo-choo train. And then some people who are new to all these things, who don't understand this background teaching, say, I wonder whether that is really tongues or not. I wonder whether that's a demon. Come out, you choo-choo demon. And the person opens and says, I'm not a demon, I'm just yielding. So, stammering lips are the beginning process. Like I said, there are two maturity processes on tongues. One is the beginner, the other is the more mature. You develop in tongues as you pray more. But the beginning one needs encouragement. No? How would you like if you end up with a choo-choo train? 6 months. Every time you go into the closet, and then here we are teaching you, you're going to pray in tongues 1 hour a day. Wonder where the choo-choo train will hit on. What happens if your tongues is a washing machine? And then here we are teaching you, you got to pray in tongue 2 hours. Or what happened? Overnight prayer, you got to pray in tongue 6 hours. I mean, the whole night. And some young Christian that come in, they wonder whether there's a demon that sounds like a dog here. Or not. And so they wonder, why is this? And there are a lot of people who look at the baptism and the spirit taking place. And this is the conclusion. Unless a person speaks in a pure, beautiful, beautifully enunciated language, it's not real tongue. No, I think you forget Isaiah 28 verse 11, it says, stammering lips. Remember, it involves two areas, speaking in tongues. Yielding of your mind and yielding of your vocal apparatus. And there are different degrees of yielding. When a person first starts, sometimes a person starts that way. And some people get stuck with a few words. La 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 la. And then they tell me, you go to pray in tongues 1 hour. They say, you know, la la la. But you know what happens when they really start praying in tongues 1 hour a day? La 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 la. You know what happens? Their mind begins to let go more and more. Doesn't it sound foolish? It does. And then they begin to let go. That is why some people have what I call a strange way to minister baptism in the Spirit. I don't use those methods at all. But these are some of the ways people use, and I'll explain why it works on some. Right? Some people, when they get people baptized in the Spirit, they will tell a person, say hallelujah. Say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Then the person starts saying, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Say pastor, say pastor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor say, pastor say, no? Increase, fifth gear. Try to say hallelujah in fifth gear and see what happens. Hallelujah! You know what happened? The person is trying, the principle behind it, his methods may not be right, but the principle behind it is the person is trying to get you to yield. Understand? Sometimes it works, but many times it turns other people off. Understand the principles, but don't use those methods. Another way that people use is that they will say la 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 la. Just say la 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 la. And then after a certain point, a person seems to take off and then get into real language of something, some kind. See, what the person was doing was helping the guy take off. Sometimes people got a long runway. I know that Malaysia has the longest runway. Do we see it has the longest runway in the world? I don't know the latest now. They say Subang Airport has the longest runway. Are we still number one? Are we still number one? We are no more number one. Huh? Huh? We are no more number one. The longest runway in the world. Guinness Book of Records. So we are supposed to have that anyway. And some people have the longest runway in the spirit world. And it takes a long time to get off. And their planes are not even Boeing 747.
I was going to say that. Their plane is a kind of single engine World War One, not even World War Two. And they go, and then they had to try to take off again. And so all these so-called unlicensed methods are supposed to help people heal. And some people get it through that method. Some of you here may have got it by that method. And another very unconventional method that I don't recommend is that when a person, when they are being missing the baptism in the spirit, they come to a person, you know, open your mouth. Say, open your mouth. Tiga ya tang. Tiga ya tang. There they are looking. We should have kept the camera at the time. And while they are there, the fellow shakes the fellow head. Come on, you know, say something. And so whether the person says something because the person shakes very hard or not, somehow you help a person heal. Another unconventional method that people use to get people baptized in the spirit is that they would say to the person, now you listen to my tongue, and the person listens. So the so-called preacher or prayer help the person, and he says, you speak after me. So the person here, oh rahasa, and you say after me, uja uja, and so yeah, otolio, and otolio, no, kalabah, and then it go faster and faster. So the person got the other guy baptized in the street by getting the guy to copy his tongue. I don't agree with all these methods, but I'm pointing to the principle behind these four methods. Their principle involves getting people to yield themselves, to free themselves, and move into that stammering lips. And so understand the principles behind, but don't use those methods. And as you say, that when a person moves into that level of tongues, for some it may remain at what I call the babyhood stage of tongues, stammering lips. And all you do most of the time is stammer. But it's alright. Just as in the spirit, in the natural, it is in the spiritual. Or rather, because in the spiritual, there's a pattern in the natural. When a baby starts talking a known language, the baby also stammers. My son talks a lot, and some words that he said that I don't quite understand, to hear about 3-4 times, because he enunciates differently from a normal way. So I have to listen carefully, then I understand what he was trying to say. But after some time, he pronounced it very clearly, certain long words, you know. He's still trying to get, you know, what you call a super califragilistic expialidocious. And even in the natural, children learn to, and they stammer a bit. Now, in the spiritual realm, sometimes as a person moves in the tongue, I know there are some who are so-called super spiritual and say, if you get tongues, you will just speak like an angel. My friends, it's not always that way. It's not always that way. Because there are different degrees of yielding, and there are different levels of anointing. So remember that the principle behind it is that there seems to be this two progression of tongues. And if you examine your life, the more you pray in tongues, the more fluent your tongues become. So at the first level, you're like stammering lip tongues. Then as you continue 1 hour a day obediently, you're very devout. And obediently you pray, you know. Although I know it's not much to pray if you've got 3 syllables. Otolio, 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 sound like sanguine. Eh? And but you continue. It brings you into a very yielded state for other things to come forth. And then you move into the other level called other tongues, the other second part of verse 11, Isaiah 28, where you really begin to move into a language. It has inflections, emphasis, pauses. It becomes a language. You could sense it coming forth. In my first year when I was baptized in the Spirit in the first 1.5 years, my tongue was not that fluent. I could recognize that there was still certain reputation. And even in the early days when I used to travel and minister, sometimes people say, I keep repeating certain words. I said, okay, I'm just yielding. I don't purposely repeat those words, but I'm just yielding to the Lord to the best of my ability. And so it took some time until the tongues became more fluent. And when it becomes fluent, it sounds like a real language. And it is a real language. Whether it be a heavenly language, angelic language, or it be a another language of another human race or tribe that you do not understand. So that can happen. You could speak very fluently. That's what I call the second level, other tongues. And you could be very, very articulate in speaking that tongue. And when you speak, it really sounds as an original language. You sound like an expert in the language. It sounds as if you understand perfectly. And like I remember, let me try to remember how I pray. Like I can't quite imitate the former way, but I remember I used to pray in tongues like la 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 la, you know, a lot, la 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 inside. And so here and there, mixture with a few, you know, interesting words. Then after some time, it progressed to where it's a real. I could speak in sentences in tongues. Now that's not my normal prayer tongues, right? That is just one of the tongues that do come out once in a while. And it becomes very fluent. Very, very fluent. And then the third level you could increase to in speaking in tongues is where you begin to speak in various languages and it can change. You could sense a change in language in your tongue. That is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Tonight we are talking about different levels and areas of tongues. Maybe this could be the best title. 1 Corinthians 14. It says, alright, let's look at chapter 12 first. Verse 10. Now, although I know that this is listed as one of the gifts of the Spirit that functions publicly, I just want to take words there and go into some teaching. In verse 10, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues. Then look at verse 28, the last phrase, varieties of tongues. And then now you go to chapter 14. Chapter 14. And in verse 2 it says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him, however in the spirit he speaks mysteries. He speaks mysteries. So he is speaking unto God. Now in 1 Corinthians 12 it lists the public gifts of tongue, which is different from what I call private tongue. Tonight we are merely talking about private tongue, please understand. We are not talking about the gift of speaking in tongues in a church. The difference between private and public is this. Private tongues is we speaking to God. Public tongue is God speaking to us. There is a definite distinction the Bible makes. So, when is God speaking to us through a person, it needs interpretation. But when we are speaking to God, we don't need interpretation because God understands all language. Heaven does not use old King James English. So that when you go before God, God says, what comest thou us to thy habitation? No, God does not use old King James, neither does Gabriel the angel of obey just old King James English. But God understands all languages, so when we speak in tongues towards God and unto God, we are speaking mysteries unto God. And I'm pointing to a third level that a person possibly can move into if their tongues can flow in different languages. Different languages. Where, you know, sometimes it could flow like, I notice my tongue flow in different languages, depends on sometimes the occasion,
depends on what God wants to speak through in the other area that we're going to talk about, three areas. Right? We're talking about levels and areas. Levels means the growth. And areas talk about function, various functions, different from growth area. And so there are three levels of growth. One is beginner's stammering tongue. The other is it becomes a language, the second level. At the third level, you move into various kinds of tongues. But sometimes I could notice the tongues coming out would be Rihi Varahas of the Bahrihi Varasli Ivarabahanti Kivomahas Abasuri Ivasa. Or sometimes it moves into a very different language like Srihi Kalakika Kaha Kaas As Ilias Li Ur As Uda As Nikonos. Right? I notice it's a very different language. So you could move to a level where your tongues can flow in different types of languages. Now, in flowing in it, your mind still doesn't understand, you're still obeying by faith. So there's a third level you move into where God could flow in tongues in different languages. At the third level, sometimes when you pray, it is a known language but you yourself do not know it. Alright, it's quite powerful. And then that's complete the section called the three levels of tongues. Right, we're talking about different levels and different areas, and here's where I'm the focus on the areas. There are different areas of tongue, that means different function of tongue as you pray forth in the spirit. We are not talking again about public tongue, we're talking about private tongue, things to do in a private life or in a prayer meeting, corporate and a singular prayer in the Lord, private and corporate prayer. So there are different functions of the tongue, and as you flow along, different function, different areas that the tongue function in. And then sometimes as you speak forth in tongues, you notice that the tongue is worship unto God, where it is magnifying God. It's magnifying God. You're magnifying the Lord. It's purely worship. And so you could be speaking about the things of God, and you could sense the consciousness of a heart-to-heart communion with God. So that's one area. You're magnifying God. And your tongues could sense it. Okay. So you could sense it, your tongue is just magnifying and worshiping God. It just goes, you could just be just talking to God. And sometimes you could sense it. It's one area that your tongue is functioning. There are many areas of function. You may not realize that. But there are many areas. So sometimes your tongue could just function in one area where it's magnifying God. It goes, and you're conscious that you're magnifying God. And let me point to some scriptural occurrence. As we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and it goes here in verse 2, it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries to God." And some of these mysteries you notice in the book of Acts chapter 2. In verse 4, "They were all filled with the spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the spirit gave them utterance. And this is what the people who hear it say in verse 11. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." There's mysteries of God, magnifying God. Then in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 46, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Speaking about the wonderful works of God. In Acts, chapter 19, Acts chapter 19, "And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." Right? Acts 19 verse 6:1 is not as clear as the other verses, but at least it talks about speaking unto God, almost like the Old Testament style of prophesying and magnifying God. That's the first area that you could move into when you're speaking in tongues. You could be magnifying God, just magnifying God. And it's not the same as singing in the spirit. It's different. It's speaking to God and magnifying God. You are worshiping and talking about the greatness of God. Your spirit is just expanding in God, talking about the things in God. So you're just magnifying God. It may go something like this: Igi baha abar as ibriandos, Igi vliham bur as lihar as bra akidiosh, Rahli burahaz ibur ambur as niyasa. So I'm conscious that that was magnifying God. Then the second area would be what we call spiritual song, where Paul said, I will sing with my spirit. And that is clear cut. Is singing in the spirit to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 15. I will sing with my spirit. Singing with my spirit. And singing with the spirit is the same. Let's read 1 Corinthians 14 verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. What is the result then? I will pray with the spirit and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. Singing in the spirit. That is the same as Ephesians chapter 5 verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs or songs of the spirit. So songs of the spirit would be the difference would be you magnify God, but you also magnify God with a melody. With a melody. And even that, there are some learning processes. See, in order to worship God with the spirit, sing in the spirit, you need to be fluent in two areas. You need to be able to have a melody, and second, you need to be able to have a very fluent tongue. Then you could worship God and sing with the spirit. So some people cannot do it yet. So what they do is they don't have to get the new melody. See, to do get two new things is harder than to get one. And so what they do is they use the old melody that they know and they sing in the spirit with it, which is what is sometimes done. Like the song, I Worship You, people say, I worship you, right? That's a song with the understanding. So people go, Igor Haslani, Urahanse, right? I am using my tongue to sing in a known melody. That is only half the process. Then as you mature in that, you would move into singing in the spirit, pure singing in the spirit. That means you need a new melody as well as a fluent tongue. We're talking about the second area, singing in the spirit. And you have to have a new melody. Like you could Hikasanihilo liburani urahasa kimosna liburan hidosa. Right? I have to get a new melody and I have to be flown in the in tongues. Then I could sing in the spirit. This is what the Bible calls singing in the spirit, spiritual song. That's the second area. It's a rich field that we're talking about. You know, once you get through tonight, you understand this message, you realize there's so much to tongues there. And you thought just speaking in tongues, come to say, ka-ka-ka-ka-ka, finish. My friends, there are three levels and there's so many areas. And I cannot cover all areas too in one night. Another third area your tongues function in is blessing in the spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says, I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding. Verse 16, otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? And you're giving a thanks since he does not understand. So he ties up singing with blessing. But there's a slight differentiation that I put there to qualify blessing and singing.
You see, blessing involves a psalm-like manner. And see, singing in the spirit involves a change of melody. The best way I can illustrate is the difference between a song and a poetry, right? If anyone has ever read poetry before, no, maybe you love that poetry, Wordsworth or whatever his name was, or some of this poetry. You read poetry in a constant style, right? Like a slow down musical staccato, right? Staccato is quite fast, but it's a sing song manner of talking. Poetry to me, that's my expression, right? When you really read poetry the way it should be, right? It's a sing song way of talking. Right? It's not really a song, neither is it really talking, it's somewhere in between. And I cannot remember anything, right? However people read their poetry, right? They may say, roses are red and violets are blue. Okay, okay, right? There is a way they read. Wow, 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 wow. Wow, 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 wow. Wow, 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 wow. Wow, wow, wow. You know, it's like it's halfway between a song and a conversation, right? But it's repetitious. It's quite repetitious in the sing-song manner of talking. So blessing in the spirit involves a greater repetition of a melody than a normal song. In fact, it could even be just one or two melodies repeated. It could be Hara Mahaze. Unamaha. Ikivrianda Hazirian. Iliabara. Ikamahazikumur Aza. Ivarahaze. Hara Ali Givara Aza. You know? It's not singing. You cannot really call it singing. Neither is it really talking, because we could add a little melody to it. Right in between. So then I just slot it into the third area. Blessing in the spirit. Blessing God. Just blessing God in the spirit. Then there's a fourth area. Fourth area would be what I call a warfare tongue. Wow, you see, warfare tongue. Yes, my friend, warfare tongue. Warfare tongue is a powerful force that we are allowed to use. It involves binding and losing of the enemy. Binding, rather, and losing of captives. In the book of Psalms 149, that's right, verse 6 and 7. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters in iron, to execute on them the written judgment. Dishonor has all his sins. Now here the kings and all these people represent demonic forces. Now notice the key here is the high praises of God in their mouth. Two-edged sword in their hand, that represents the word of God. Now here is a warfare praise that in the New Testament it developed into what I call the warfare tongue. Warfare tongue. Now look over here in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This is talking about warfare, as you can see from the context. Putting on the armor of God. Stand therefore. Your loins girded with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 14. Verse 15. Your shoes for the gospel of peace. Taking the shield of faith. Helmet of salvation. Sword of the spirit. Everything, etc. Then verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication. Now notice the prayer and supplication in the spirit has to do with warfare. My friends, we're talking about warfare in the spirit. Warfare tongues. And that's where your tongues can move into an area of warfare. And it can be in various types. It could be a victory cry, right? There are many areas of warfare time. It could be a victory cry. Right? Warfare cry. Some people, middle of the night, 4 a.m., warfare cry. Right, they must have got a breakthrough somewhere. And, no? At other times, the warfare tongues sound like it's scolding the devil. Right. Sounds like scolding the devil. Right. And I do sense it sometimes that the tongues that were coming up from me was rebuking demonic power. Rebuking demonic power. And you know, it's the spiritual force being released. You could sense yourself rebuking. And your hands are moving, got action also. And you could sense that you're moving the warfare tongue. Right? Warfare tongue got two tones. Right? It has the black notes and the white notes. And so the black notes is it's for rebuking and binding them. The white notes are victory cry. Victory cry in the Lord. So there's a warfare tongue. Warfare tongue. Praise the Lord. Now, how many have you got now? Four. Yeah. Four. I thought we got five. Oh, four. Okay, we got five. And so, the next one is Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now that is what I call groaning tongue. Groaning tongue. The deeper level, it involves groaning. But here it is some utterances that is in a realm that Paul says in Galatians 4 verse 19, I travail again. And this is travailing in the spirit. It's different. Your tongue takes on a different area. And you're coming up. Right. It's a groaning tongue. So that's why you have an overnight, so you can experience everything. Imagine if you go only 1 hour at home, how can you experience all these rich rainbows of tongues? So many areas. Otherwise you're only living in one color world. Remember the small children's storybook, the one color world. Under the rainbow cloud came and rain and give them colors. And so it's in an overnight time like this that you could experience the whole spectrum of tongue. And if you're aware of it, you can move into it. If you're not aware of it, you're moving into it a little bit here, a little bit there, but not fully. So here is where I call the groaning tongue. It's pure intercession coming out. Just pure intercession. Travailing. You're burning for something. You're burning for something in your life. Burning for. Then you have number 6. Right? Number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 4. The first part. Second part of the prophecy. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Then it's the same as Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now notice that it's different from Ephesians 6. This is what I call number 6, the building up tongues. Building up tongues. That means what you're doing is you are gaining attitude. You have taken off already, right? And so sometimes part of it is also taking off on the runway. So you're building yourself up. You're taking off on the runway. Then as you take off, slowly you notice when it left the runway and your plane start going up. You're still building yourself up. You're picking attitude and you're going upwards. And you're building yourself up. You're building yourself up. We need to do that every day. In fact, for most people who pray in tongues only an hour a day, that is the only realm they move in. Say, wow. Yes, they live in a one color world. We miss a lot of things in the spirit. For most people who pray only about an hour in tongues, or some only half an hour a day, they only experience number six. They miss out all the other lovely things. And once in a blue moon, they may hit in one sentence here and then the other thing, but they miss a whole lot. And when you spend time in overnight prayer, think of the position of the speaker. Anyway, got to set that up. And so when we have time like this, where we could just take time in the night like this and just do whatever we want on the likes and move into whatever tongues you want. For some of you could see they're at a simmering state. but now you begin to realize that you can move further on. And we have the opportunity to move in the various kinds of tongues. That's why I say the word kind time may not be so accurate. Maybe the word areas and functions of tongues may be more accurate, the description. Various areas. And tonight, please be aware of that. Sometimes there's a corporate movement. That means sometimes you could sense that there's like the Holy Spirit anointing upon coming upon the place, and corporately is leading the whole group into warfare tongues. So you learn to flow along with it and just let go and let the Spirit take control of the area. That is number six, building up time. And then the seventh and the last area is what I call combinational tongues. I'm running out of human words. And please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15. What is the result then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. Here is where your spirit and your understanding learn to flow together. That's why I call it combinational tongues. Like for example, I want to pray about somebody. So I take the person's photograph and I pray in tongues over the person. You know, it is intercessory but different from the others. It is directed with my understanding. So I could, for example, say, Father God, I'm praying for this person, and this person has said to me, this person has this kind of need, and now I'm praying for this person, and I pray with my understanding, and I pray as much as I can. Then my understanding has a limit, it stops, I move into tongues in the same area. Combinational tongues. I combine it with the understanding. And the opposite sometimes takes place also. So there are different shapes on this seven area. I could be praying in the spirit. Suddenly I got a strong leading to release a certain prayer in the understanding. It could be the opposite way. The spirit was leading me and then want me to go to understanding for my benefit in the area. So there is what I call, by that time your understanding and your mind and your spirit are flowing together in harmony. And you both are combining your spiritual life to yield to the Lord. But in this seven area, I must make you aware of the fact that as much as you can, you yield to the Holy Spirit. In other words, trust the Holy Spirit to lead you. Sometimes you may have four areas to pray, and you want to force yourself to pray in the area in tongues, and you find that the Spirit is going to the right while you want to go to the left. Trust the Holy Spirit. Just yield to Him and let Him take the direction first. take the direction first. And he may want to cover other areas before this area. Or sometimes he may cover this area in a few sentences that you think need 15 minutes, he may just need 2 sentences. So it is more powerful. And you pray in the spirit, you pray in the perfect will of God. So he may have covered those areas in 2 minutes. Or he may see other areas beyond what you're trying to cover. Same area, but beyond those areas. So you try to concentrate here, well, he wants to go to the right side, you know, go to the left. Let him lead you. But there's an area where as you let him lead you, pray in tongues, then you could sense that he wants you to pray in understanding now. For some reason. And he allows you to take those areas in the understanding, you know, where there is a level of presence of God. And you are given that liberty to just take any item and pray those items and then pray in the spirit. And the spirit flow along. Flow along. Or rather, he has led you and placed you in that area and position where there's combinational movement. Your understanding and your spirit praying tongues move together. So that is the 7th area. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your Holy Spirit that teaches and guides us into the depths of prayer. We pray, O God, that you would enrich our lives as we allow you, Lord, to teach us the depths of your spirit, the depths of the things of your glory. Teach us, Father, we recognize that so much more we need to go into you. So, Father, we yield our utmost to you tonight. Thank you, Father, for being with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's rise together and we will bring a prayer globe and a prayer request all here. Yes. So we will pray over them. Yes, just bring all the prayer globe and prayer request. And if you have any others to place into the globe, then as you sing that song, you can just place it into the globe and we just go into prayer. Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. Jesus, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. Spirit, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. Jesus, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. Spirit, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. Guru Mahasriyana Namashara Namashara Namasha. Iriyana Namaha Sivriyana Namaha Jigya Mahasriyana Namasha.